You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got a few things to give you here before we get started. Number one is the phone fund for the network. We are getting donations, not nearly what we should be getting, for all of those who claim that they want to hear more network programming. And if that's true, then you've got to get off the off your duff and contribute, because the only way we can give you extra programming while we're waiting for new programmers to come onto the network, that's paid programming, is for you, the listeners, to contribute $10 for each extra hour of programming that you want to hear. And it'll be good programming, I can assure you that. And it's not to pay for the satellite. That's paid for. We have the satellite, ladies and gentlemen, 24 hours a day. That's already paid for. It's ours. The problem is we can't use it unless somebody comes along to pay for the broadcasting. Right now, the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network is operating at a severe loss. Those of us who are involved in this, who have put up the money to do this, are taking a bath right now. And we're doing it with the knowledge that America needs this network. They need a network that will tell them the truth and not feed them pablum. They need a network that puts broadcasters on who are going to be good broadcasters and deliver the truth, not rumor, not supposition, not lies. But that when you go to check out the information that they give you, you'll find out that it's true. That's what this network is all about. And we're dedicated to that. And as I have always done in my quest for the truth and to restore constitutional Republican government, wake up the American people, all of these things have been a labor of love, so to speak. And myself and my family, we often do without in order to make these things happen. Now, if you want to know about how much something like this costs, call some of these companies that handle the satellite time for radio broadcasting and for television, and ask them how much it would cost you to get a transponder 24 hours a day to put up a network. And you'll find out what those of us who are trying to help get the truth out to the American people are expending on this kind of thing. It's not just a few dollars, folks. It's an awful lot. So even though we have purchased the transponder for 24 hours in every day, we can't use it. And the reason we can't use it is because we don't have the money to pay for the telephone uplink from the studios to the satellite uplink to get the broadcasting onto the satellite. It costs us $10 every hour that we're on the phone line. And we're trying to get cheaper rates, but right now that's what it is. It's $10 an hour. And that's what we have to pay. So if you want extra programming on this network, the satellite is paid for. We can put up there anything that we want, but we need $10 per hour to do it. Now, if you're all sitting out there waiting for me to do it, I have invested everything that this family has and that our trusts own in Oklahoma City Day One, in the transponder for this network, in equipment for broadcasting, in many things that you don't even know about and probably will never, ever know about. I've always been out there hanging over the edge of the cliff. I've always done my duty as it has presented itself to me. I have always tried never to fail in my responsibility, and I don't believe that I have. So people are always asking me, what can you do? Well, what you can do, folks, is contribute to the phone fund. And we keep track of every nickel that comes in for the phone fund. And we've even been adding other donations that have been sent in that weren't even earmarked for the phone fund. And I'm going to tell you what we have now and who gave it. And if you're not on this list, shame on you. Shame on you. Terry Mobley gave $100. That's 10 hours of programming. And we'll begin this programming in March, ladies and gentlemen. If you're an affiliate station, make sure, folks, that you send in or call us and ask for a copy of the extended programming schedule, because we're going to be airing some dynamite broadcasts on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. And if you don't know when we're going to be doing that, you might miss it, and you may not be able to put it out on your affiliate station for your listeners, and they might get very upset about that. So call Connie at 520-333-4578, and you can do that right now if you're an affiliate station, and ask her to send you a schedule of the additional extra broadcasting that will be airing in the month of March because of the donations that these people that I'm going to read to you right now have given. Terry Mobley gave $100. He has paid for 10 hours of additional broadcasting. Richard and Dorothy Yannick paid $10. See, folks, you don't have to be rich. That $10 to me is just as valuable as the $100 from Terry. It pays for 1 hour of additional broadcasting on satellite for all of our affiliate stations all across the nation and around the world, and we are very appreciative of that. Ellen McCurdy, $30. That's 3 hours of broadcasting that she has paid for and allows us to present in the month of March. Joseph Crudo, $20. Again, that's 2 additional hours that nobody would ever hear if Joseph hadn't contributed that $20. Paul Story, $20. Again, thank you, Paul. John Oliver, $10. That's 1 additional hour of extra programming that we would not be able to air if John Oliver had not sent us that $10. F. Johnson, $200. $200. That's 20 hours of extra programming that we can give to you in the month of March because the Johnsons were good enough to contribute $200 to this network to pay the phone bill to the uplink. John Padgett, $10. Again, we wouldn't be able to produce that hour if John had not sent us that $10. Saber Gary, $20. That's 2 additional hours that we would not ever have been able to present to you had she not sent that to us. Jerry Etchy, $20. And he wrote a wonderful letter along with his $20. I was going to read it, but I thought I better not because Jerry embarrasses easily. But he sent us $20, and we're very appreciative, Jerry. Thank you very much. Lowell Martin sent $100. $100, 10 additional hours of programming. Now, folks, we didn't ask anybody to send $100 or $200 or $30 or $20. We just asked you to send $10 if you wanted to help us out so that we could present an extra hour of broadcasting. These people did it from the goodness and the kindness of their hearts in order to be able to help this network grow and do the things that we should be able to do. Al Hoop III sent $10. That's an extra hour of broadcasting. All together, we've got, let me see, what do we got here? We've got 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. We've got 55 hours here, ladies and gentlemen, in the month of March, because these people donated money from the kindness of their heart in order to be able to pay the telephone uplink to the satellite. We're going to be able to produce 55 hours of extra programming in the month of March. It should be a lot more than that. We should be able, if you all were doing your job, to put up 8 hours of additional programming every single day in the month of March. And every month thereafter, because, folks, you know, if you just contribute a dollar It's better than contributing nothing. So I just wanted to let you know how this phone fund is coming along and who's doing it. Now, here, out of all of our listeners, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 people. 12 people out of the tens of thousands and probably millions of people who listen to this broadcast. I don't know how large our audience is anymore. When we were on WWCR and on the satellite and being carried by low-power FM stations all over the place, we did a professional sampling by mail, and we had over 10 million listeners. Now, I know that our listening audience is not that high now because WRMI does not cover the area that the WWCR covers. And a lot of the people who used to listen to this broadcast on shortwave don't even know that we're back on shortwave. So, and, but we have a tremendously huge audience. We know that. And out of that audience, only 12 people, 12 people who claim to be concerned about their country and claim to want this kind of network and haven't done anything. So, it's part of the great crowd that's always waiting for somebody else to do it. Somebody else to do it. Somebody else will do it. Well, I thank you, all of those who have contributed. The month of March is going to have some fantastic programming because of your kindness and your response to the need here. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts and hope that others will follow your example so that we can offer at least that much programming in addition to the regular programming in the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network every month. You see, this is not some kind of a profit venture. I'm not making any money here, folks. In fact, we're operating at a tremendous loss right now. Tremendous loss. The few broadcasts that we have on the air now are not paying even, well, folks, they're not even paying half of what the satellite transponder costs. In fact, they're not even paying one quarter of what the transponder costs. It aren't even close to one quarter of that cost yet. So that's, we're eating that. And we're hoping to get more and more excellent broadcasters on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. And we know we will. In the month of March coming up, we will be adding another broadcast every Saturday. And we'll be talking about that later. But it will be a dynamite program that you'll all be very happy to be able to hear. And we have more coming all the time, asking about our programming and going back and discussing it with their people and negotiating and all of this kind of thing. So the network will grow, and eventually the network will break even, and hopefully it will pay for itself, and we'll be able to bring in extra money for equipment and things to make it better. But it's not a profit-type thing, folks. If it were, we couldn't charge our broadcasters the low rate that we are. We have the lowest rate satellite uplink for radio in the entire nation. Maybe even the world. I don't know about the rest of the world, but in this country, nobody, and I mean nobody, will give you a satellite uplink to broadcast anything for $30 an hour. And that's what we're charging. And we should be charging a lot more. But we're not going to do that. We're not ever going to do that. And the reason we're not ever going to do it is because when we do it, then we've defeated the purpose of making airtime available at a low rate for the kind of broadcasters that are going to be here giving you the information that you need to know. You see, if we charge the higher rate, all we would get is the same people who are already on broadcasting that aren't telling you anything, never have told you anything, and never will tell you anything. Right, Rush? Right, Rush, huh? Your excellence in bullshitting? That's what Rush Limbaugh is really all about. He's got you in a cul-de-sac chasing your tail. And he talks about things that have absolutely no meaning in the context of being on the brink of a cliff, losing our Constitution and our rights that that Constitution recognizes and protects. He doesn't tell you the real enemy. He doesn't tell you where we're going. You only get that from the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, from shows like The Hour of the Time, from shows like Jackie Petru's broadcast, and other broadcasts that we will be bringing on this network. So keep that in mind and sit down and hash it over, folks, and say, hey, you know, I'm always wondering what can I do, and I never do anything. At least I can do is send in $10 so that we can get some extra programming on this network. That's what you should be saying to yourself. And that's what we hope that you'll be saying to yourself, and then follow through with it and do it each and every month. And we'll be able to bring you the very best quality and informative programs that you can imagine. You already know the quality of the broadcast that we put on the air. We're going to maintain that high quality, no matter who it hurts and no matter who it helps. Even if it hurts me, it's just the way it's going to be, folks. I've been getting some calls about how we never give the socialists any say on this network or on my broadcast. And I'm going to direct a couple of minutes of commentary to that. This is not a socialist network. It's not a socialist country. I'm not a socialist. I pay for my broadcasting. I do, ladies and gentlemen. Not me personally. The Harvest Trust does, who owns The Hour of the Time, pays the network for my broadcasting. And the Harvest Trust pays for the satellite transponder for the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. And the Independence Foundation Trust pays for the operation of 101.1 FM, which is a community service station in Eager, Arizona, which has no income whatsoever and never will have because it's a nonprofit community service station. It's not here to make money. It's here to educate people and give them programming, an alternative voice, alternative music, an alternative place to put their ear, so to speak, and give to the community that has given so much to all of us. That's what it's for. So I hope that you all understand exactly what it is I'm trying to say. And I'd say it another way, real quick, but not supposed to do that on radio. So I won't. But let me get back to the socialistas. You see, there's a myth in this country that there's a free press. It's just not true. The Constitution grants freedom of the press, and it grants freedom of speech. Now, here's what that means. It means that each and every person in this country has the freedom to speak what's on their mind, no matter what it is. Okay? And nobody can interfere with that. But you see, you cannot infringe upon other person's property in the process of doing it. You can't barge into my living room and give me a sermon because you have the freedom of speech, because it's my property and I don't want you doing it. And if you try it, I'm going to ask you politely to leave. And if you refuse to leave, I'm going to grab you and I'm going to throw you out on your ear. And if you give me much of a fight, then I'll get my pistol and stick that up your nose and we'll see how quick you leave. That's the way I am, ladies and gentlemen. That's the way it should be. There has to be a respect for the property of other people. You cannot force the owner of a newspaper to print what you want him or her to print. You can't force CBS to tell the truth, because you don't own CBS. You see, when they talk about freedom of the press, what it means, ladies and gentlemen, is whoever owns the press has the freedom to print whatever they want, or to say whatever they want, on a microphone, or on a television boob tube. That's what it means. Nobody owes you the truth. The truth is elusive at best. It's hard to find. It's hard to find people who don't have an agenda of their own, who aren't trying to push their agenda down your throat. You see, reporting should be objective. The facts should be reported, and you should be left to make up your own mind about what they mean. But everybody who owns the press, or owns a radio station, or owns a TV station, or a network of whatever kind it happens to be, has their own agenda, including this one, whether you have realized that or not. Our agenda is to promote freedom, is to promote a return to constitutional republican government as guaranteed to us by the Constitution for the United States of America, to promote and educate people about the ideals and principles upon which this nation was founded and became the greatest nation in the world, to teach you about what's happening to this country and why it's happening and who's bringing it about or what their agenda really is and how it's going to affect you. That's our agenda, you see? So the only way to have a truly free press is for you to own your own press, like Glenn Jacobs in Eager. He found a need for a community newspaper, and he wanted to print in there what he believes is the truth, and he does a darn good job about it. He also is right in line with what we're doing. He believes in America. He believes in American ideals. He owns his newspaper. He prints what he wants. Glenn Jacobs has a free press. William Cooper has a free press on the Hour of the Time. Jackie Patru has a free press on the Jackie Patru program. The Worldwide Freedom Radio Network has a free press and will only allow those who will tell the truth and document it and source it and not lie to the people or spread rumors to the people to be on this network. Michael Cottingham with Quest for Help has a free press. We don't owe socialists anything. In fact, in my estimation, socialism sucks, and so do socialists. They're destroying this country. They're stripping our freedoms from us because they don't want to be responsible. They don't want to make it on their own. They don't want to work and sweat and build something. They want it handed to them on a silver platter and guaranteed by Big Brother, their government, and they're willing to give up anything to give it, to get it. Well, we're not. So when socialists write me a letter or they call me and say, gee, you don't give us any airspace. Why should I? I don't owe you anything. You're not paying for my broadcast. You're not helping support the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. You haven't funded the Hour of the Time, and if you wanted to, I wouldn't allow you to do it. Not at all. The Hour of the Time is owned by the Harvest Trust. I'm hired to do the broadcast. Simple as that. And we have an agenda. We're going to put our agenda, not your agenda. Your agenda is footed by the most powerful, wealthiest print media, television networks, and radio networks in this whole world. You own and operate all the communist news networks that feed us the pablum and the lies every day. Why should we give you a voice? If you want a voice, do what we have done. Start your own radio broadcast. Start your own radio network. Purchase a satellite transponder. Put up radio or television or whatever you can afford to put up. Maybe Big Brother will finance you, but we won't. You see, you're always true to your agenda. You always want it from somebody else. You always want it for free. And you scream bloody murder if you don't get it. Well, you can keep on screaming. You'll never get it from me. You'll never get it from the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. You'll never get it from the Harvest Trust. And that's the way it is, and that's the way it's always going to be. But in deference, just to prove that we have a kind heart here, we have dedicated all of the music on this particular day's broadcast to all the socialists in the world. This is your music. And we're going to play it just for you. So you can't say we never gave you anything. And at the same time, it's going to educate an awful lot of people who have never heard this junk as to just exactly what it is you're up to. This is some of the classic socialist music that you could ever hear. Ladies and gentlemen, some of it is in Russian, some of it is in English. I would pay particular attention to the Internationale when we play that, and I'm not going to tell you which one it's going to be, but listen to the words when it's in English. When it's not, just understand that they're talking about red flags and down with the bourgeoisie, which is you, and promoting socialism and, you know, equality for the working class. We're all victims. Somebody's got to take care of us because somebody else is always knocking us down. Oh, my gosh. How can people live with themselves if every morning they get up and they're a victim, they look in the mirror and they're like, everybody's out to get me. You know why it's that way? Because Karl Marx was one of the biggest victims in the world. He couldn't succeed at anything. He was an abject failure at everything that he ever did. He was a Jew who hated Jews. I mean, how much of a failure could you possibly ever be? Everything that he wrote, he plagiarized from Friedrich Engels. He was a racist. He hated blacks. He hated Spanish people. He didn't like anybody. And he wanted to create this big mechanism called the state in order to take care of him. And that's where it comes from, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go away. I shall return after this brief pause. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Death to the Enemy. Death to the Enemy. Death to the enemies. death to the NC. They don't want to just rule you. They want to kill you. These people are terrible. And that's one of the classics. I mean, that's one of the great big socialist songs. And they love it. You go to a socialist meeting, you hear these things. This is what they play. And you're going to hear more of it all during this broadcast. Every single thing that we air during this broadcast, as far as music goes, is going to be one of the classics of socialism. And so be ready to listen to it. Well, they're up to it again, ladies and gentlemen. The Bureau of Land Management, BLM. And this time their target is gun owners and a few other things. But they have a comment period. If you want to get your 2 cents in, you've got to do it, ladies and gentlemen, before March 7th, 1997. This is from the Bureau of Land Management. Bureau of Land Management. For release, January 14th, 1997. If you have any questions about this, contact Celia Boddington. Celia Boddington. Area code 202-452-5128. That's Celia Boddington at 202-452-5128. Or Erica Patachi at 202-452-5084. That's 202-452-5084. The BLM extends the comment period for proposed law enforcement regulations. The Interior Department's Bureau of Land Management announced today a second 30-day extension until March the 7th, 1997, for the public to comment on proposed law enforcement regulations that were first published in the Federal Register on November the 7th, 1996. So if you want to get a copy of the rules that were published in the Federal Register, they were published in the Federal Register on November the 7th, 1996. These are the proposed law enforcement regulations. The proposed rule does not add, this is what they say in their press release. I'm going to tell you what they say, and then I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? They say, the proposed rule does not add any new law enforcement authority for the Bureau of Land Management, but seeks to clarify what activities are prohibited on the nation's public lands under existing laws. Several prohibited acts would be added to existing BLM regulations. However, these proposed additions are based on existing federal statutes or local BLM supplementary rules or closure orders. You see how they are, folks. They tell you first, the proposed rule does not add any new law enforcement authority for the BLM, and then they tell you that they're going to add proposed additions several prohibited acts will be added. This is the way the government works all the time. It's just infuriating how they lie through their teeth constantly. The BLM, listen to this, the BLM is committed to giving all users of the public lands ample opportunity to comment fully on these proposed regulations, said interim BLM Director Sylvia Baca. I hope that all interested parties will take advantage of this extension and submit their comments by March 7th, 1997, and I hope that you will all do that also. If you don't put your comments in on what I'm going to tell you today, then you can't complain if they take away certain things from your ability to do BLM, what they call BLM land. They can't produce a title to the land. It actually belongs to the state. They just steal it. W. Hord Tipton, the BLM's Assistant Director for Resource Use and Protection, said the proposed rule does not expand BLM's law enforcement authority or change the way our agency enforces the law on public lands, although certain prohibitions in the proposed rule do not appear in current regulations. They are derived from existing statutes or local supplementary rules and closure orders, or they reflect court decisions. How do you like that for double talk and triple talk and quadruple talk? These guys speak with forked tongues. Tipton added, it should be noted that BLM law enforcement officers already have the authority to enforce these proposed... Yep, got two pages stuck together here. To enforce these proposed provisions. the BLM proposed the new rule to consolidate the prohibitions of the numerous applicable laws and regulations into one concise area of the Code of Federal Regulations. And ladies and gentlemen, that's just an outright lie. You see, they wouldn't be doing this if BLM officers already had the authority to enforce these changes. They're doing it to give them the authority and restrict your movements and activities on BLM land even more than they're already restricted. And here goes some more lies. Listen to this. I'm going to read all of their baloney, and then I'm going to tell you what it really is. The proposed rule covers the following topics: existing regulations. The proposed rule would consolidate existing law enforcement regulations currently scattered throughout Title 43 of the Code of Federal Regulations. The BLM has issued several criminal regulations since enactment of the Federal Land Management and Policy Act of 1976. Individual resource programs issued these regulations, which are now scattered in various subparts throughout Title 43. Statutes. The proposed rule would add provisions consistent with a number of statutes enacted by Congress since the original regulations were published in 1980. This proposed new language would not expand or add to the BLM's existing authority. For example, the proposed rule includes regulations in accordance with statutes such as Recreational Hunting Safety Act, and that ought to give you some clues, 16 U.S.C., subsection 5201, 1994. Hazardous or injurious devices on federal lands, 18 U.S.C., section 1864, 1988, and Federal Cave Resources Act, 16 U.S.C., section 4306, 1988. Case law. The proposed rule would reflect court decisions handed down since the regulations were first published. However, this language would not expand or add to the BLM's authority. For example, the proposed rule includes language in accordance with U.S. versus Brotsman, 708 F. Sup. 713, 1989. Secretary of Interior had authority to incorporate, by reference, provisions of state traffic laws as rules of road in national parks. And U.S. versus Lindsay, 595 F. 2nd, 5, 1979. Property clause of U.S. Constitution grants to U.S. the power to regulate conduct on non-federal land when reasonably necessary to protect adjacent federal property or navigable waters. And that should give you another indication of what these people are up to. Now they're saying that federal officers have authority on non-federal land. You see, but they tell you that this doesn't change anything. It changes a lot, ladies and gentlemen. They issue this press release, and they tell you all of this stuff without telling you one of the things that they're actually going to do here. They just fill you full of gobbledygook, and most people don't even check any of this stuff. Local decisions. From time to time, a local BLM office publishes a local supplementary rule in the Federal Register prohibiting certain activities for the protection of BLM lands. The proposed rule would incorporate some of these rules. For example, 54 FR 36056, August 31, 1989, supplementary rules for the San Pedro Riparian National Conservation Area, and 61 FR 11862, March 22, 1996, shooting closures and restrictions for the Snake River Birds of Prey National Conservation Area. The proposed rule was first published on November 7, 1996, and the comment period was originally scheduled to expire January 6, 1997. On December 16, 1996, the BLM announced a first extension of the comment period. The notice announcing the second extension to March 7, 1997 was published in the Federal Register shortly thereafter. Comments on this proposed rule must be submitted in writing by March 7, 1997. Now listen to me carefully, folks. Comments on this proposed rule must be submitted in writing by March 7, 1997 to the Bureau of Land Management, Administrative Record 401, capital L, capital S, comma, 1849 C Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20240. And I'm going to read this again twice slowly, okay? So you can write it down. Comments on this proposed rule must be submitted in writing by March 7, 1997 to the Bureau of Land Management. That's the Bureau of Land Management. Administrative Record 401 capital L capital S. That's Administrative Record 401 capital L capital S. 1849 C Street Northwest. That's 1849 C Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. 20240. Washington, D.C. 20240. Okay, this is the last time now. Comments on this proposed rule must be submitted in writing by March 7, 1997 to the Bureau of Land Management, Administrative Record 401 capital L capital S, 1849 C Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. 20240. Now, comments may also be submitted electronically via the Internet. However, I discourage that because they can make those things disappear into electron land. But if you write it on a piece of paper and put it in an envelope and send it, it becomes part of a permanent record, and they can't throw it away. Okay? But if you want to, via Internet, here's the address. WOCOMMENT. That's WOCOMMENT, the A with the circle around it, WO.BLM.GOV. Okay, one more time. WOCOMMENT, A with a circle around it, WO.BLM.GOV. Persons submitting electronic comments should include Attention, capital AC30. Attention, capital AC30. And their names and addresses in their internet messages. As if you're going to get an answer. Okay, that's what they say, ladies and gentlemen. And what all this affects is just incredible. And I'll be getting to that right after this.
Mind the fix and break us here, we'll keep the red flag flying here.
How about it, folks? You want the red flag flying here? Well, I don't. As long as I'm alive, it's not going to happen. I can assure you of that. And I'm not the only one. Okay, here's what's going on here. Number one, the BLM officers, I don't care what they say, I don't care what they print in their regulations, cannot ever have authority outside of federally owned land. It's unconstitutional. They don't have any authority, period, except on federal land, ladies and gentlemen. That's the law. You can't change the law by writing a regulation. Can't happen. So one of the things that you need to say in your response to this is that under no circumstances will you accept federal officers having any authority off of federal land. Because if you allow that to happen, folks, in the first place, it's against the law. It's unconstitutional. It flies in the face of reason, even. But if you were to allow it to happen simply by not responding or not caring and not objecting, because remember, the basis of the law is that if you don't protect your rights, you don't have any rights. That's the truth. And it goes back for a long, long time. It's just the very foundation upon which the law is written. You have to protest. You have to claim your rights. You have to speak up when you see the law violated. So in your response, you should tell them, under no circumstances will we accept you giving any authority to federal officers off federal land. Because if you do, they're going to come on your land, ladies and gentlemen, and they're going to tell you what you can do and what you can't do. Is that what you want to happen? The federal government is already performing so many unconstitutional and unlawful acts in their search for the great social and utopia, socialist utopian world that they've got most American citizens so thoroughly angry at them that now they want more. And they're going to keep pushing for more. But that's number one. Say, under no circumstances will we accept that. So forget it. Now, for gun owners, in this, really, gun owners are targeted real big here. The Bureau of Land Management has proposed a rule governing the use of firearms on federal lands. It's part of this. And it is dangerously overboard. In fact, anything that restricts the use of the right to carry and possess firearms for American citizens is unconstitutional until they deal with the second article and amendment. All of these laws are unconstitutional. Any gun law is unconstitutional. But they want to pick away, see? They pass laws that you think are okay because they just infringe a little bit. And you say, well, we'll let them get away with that if they'll leave us alone with the rest of the stuff. The truth is they never do, because then they come along with another one, and then another one, and then another one. And pretty soon they come along with big ones based upon those small ones. And because you didn't stand up and protect your rights to begin with, you lose them. That's how it works. This is a proposed rule, folks, on page 57615 of the Federal Register for November the 7th, 1996. This proposed rule is on page 57615 of the Federal Register for November 7th, 1996. That's where they published these proposed rules that I just read you their press release about. Well, they didn't tell us anything that they're going to do in their press release. They never will. You have to go look it up, because they're always hiding what they want to do. They think that the majority of sheeple will just read their press release and say, oh, well, you know, this is for our own good. And so they never look it up and they never read it. And so next time they go out to hunt or camp on BLM land, somebody drives up and they get arrested, or they get a ticket, or they get their guns confiscated, or something happens to them, and they go, well, you know, since when did this happen? You can't do this to me. Well, if you don't protest it and stand up for your rights, yes, they will. Whether they can or not, they will, simply because you abdicated. This is the proposed rule. It would outlaw discharging a firearm within 150 yards of a residence, building, campsite, recreation site, or occupied area. Sounds innocent, doesn't it, folks? Well, who would want to discharge a weapon within 150 yards of a building? Who would want to discharge a weapon within 150 yards of a campsite? Well, I would, for one. When I go camping out in the, out to somewhere where I take my weapons when I want to shoot for recreation, or I want to teach my children how to handle a firearm, I'm standing right in my campsite. But here they go. Discharging a firearm within 150 yards of a residence, building, campsite, recreation site. Now, do you know what the definition of a recreation site is, ladies and gentlemen? Well, for your information, it covers all BLM land which is used for public recreation of any kind, which includes camping, which includes any kind of recreation that you can think of. If you believe that hiking is recreation, and you are performing your recreation on BLM land, and that has been designated by the government or by the BLM for hiking, you can no longer fire a weapon anywhere on that land or within 150 yards of it. Or occupied area. Ladies and gentlemen, what is the definition of an occupied area? If there's 50 miles of land out there, and Joe Smith walks into that land and is standing there right smack dab in the middle of it, is it now occupied? You see what they do with words and with language? None of these are defined, which means they can define them any way that they wish and do away with hunting and shooting on all BLM land. You see, in the law, ladies and gentlemen, if they are not absolutely specific, it can be interpreted to mean anything they want it to mean, and that's what these scum are doing to us. You see, one of the biggest goals that they have is to take the guns away from the American people, restrict your right to hunt, restrict your right to shoot, and eventually disarm every American citizen in this country. This is part of it. Now, if you go down to the local BLM office and ask them about this, they'll say, oh, no, we would never do anything like that. Oh, no, what we mean by occupied area is, you know, a campsite where somebody is, you know, cooking, and they've got a little fire and a tent there, and within 150 yards of that, that's what we're talking about. But then you say, well, it doesn't say that. It doesn't define occupied area as a little campsite where there's a tent, does it? He said, well, no, it doesn't, but, you know, we're decent, reasonable people. We would never do that to you, would we? Well, if you believe that, folks, you're out of your ever-loving mind, because they're doing it to us all over this country with this kind of vague language. And people read it, and they don't think, and they say, oh, that's innocent. And, no, I agree with that. I'm not going to object to that. Well, you'd better object to it, or you're going to find your ability to hunt or shoot on BLM land has disappeared. Disappeared. What is the definition of a campsite? What is the definition of a building? Is that old shack out there that was built in 1882 that's falling apart a building? Is it? What is a recreation site? What's an occupied area? This ineptly drafted rule could effectively prohibit both hunting and the use of firearms for self-defense or practice or recreation on all public lands. And with respect to hunting, the proposed rule contains the following problems. It is practically speaking impossible for a hunter to determine with certainty that his activities are not within 150 yards of a small abandoned building or a crumbling cabin, another hunter's campsite, or an amorphously defined quote, recreation area, end quote. In fact, if hunting can be defined as recreation, and that is a hunting area, then by definition, it could prohibit hunting in a hunting area because hunting is a recreation. And any of these facts which would subject the hunter to criminal liability. Hunters frequently hunt in groups, ladies and gentlemen. Does that make the hunting site an occupied area? Is it an occupied area because you're standing there? I bet if you look up the word occupied in any dictionary I've ever seen, that's exactly what it's going to tell you. And if it excuses you for standing there, is it an occupied site because you've got three other guys with you? You see what I mean? The rule seems to suggest that a hunter cannot hunt within 150 yards of his own campsite or his own hunting blind or his own hunting companions or even in the area in which he is standing. Because he is standing there, it is now an occupied area, and because he's engaging in a recreational activity, it is a recreation area. The second problem with the rule is that there is no exception for self-defense, ladies and gentlemen. And if you think they won't get you on that, they will. Thus, gun owners could face arrest and possibly prosecution for using firearms to defend themselves from vicious attackers or wild beasts. Most state laws have an exemption that would allow for self-defense. The proposed rule contains no such exemption. None at all. Ladies and gentlemen, people have been prosecuted for murder in this country who have been attacked by a knife-wielding or gun-carrying attacker, thief, mugger, robber, rapist, murderer. And they drew their own pistol in self-defense and shot that sucker dead. And guess what? Tried for murder. And even if you get off, how much do you think it's going to cost you to be tried for murder? How much? An awful lot, folks. You can't afford it, I can tell you right now. You cannot afford it. Nobody can. This is the voice of freedom. How much? An awful lot, folks. You can't afford it, I can tell you right now. You cannot afford it. Nobody can. This is
the voice of freedom. Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be, 101.1 FM, Eagle.
FM is owned and operated by the Independent Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, and welcome to part two of our broadcast. Let me just quickly finish this up. The proposed rule would allow BLM to search without warrant or process any person, place, or vehicle according to any federal law or rule of law, and seize without warrant or process any piece of evidence as provided by federal law. Oh boy, that's a heavy, folks. That violates so many parts of the Constitution for the United States of America and the protection of citizens within the states by the state constitutions and laws that I could do an entire 2 hours just on that one alone. This rule would allow these arrogant jerks to search without warrant or process any person, place, or vehicle according to any federal law or rule of law, and seize without warrant or process any piece of evidence as provided by federal law. That would include strip search, ladies and gentlemen. You want to be out in the middle of a campsite, in the middle of the forest, with a bunch of federal officers strip searching your wife? I don't think so. That's do or die time. That's when people bite the dust. And it might be you trying to defend and protect your wife. Or how would you like to be strip searched in the middle of the desert? Or the forest, or wherever it happens to be? And who gives these people the right to
to tear up the Constitution for the United States of America, the Creator-endowed rights which it recognizes for all American citizens, and the Bill of Rights, and throw them all into the trash can. Search without warrant? Since when is that lawful? Well, folks, different law enforcement agencies all across this country have been doing that for quite some time. A lot of you don't know it. But you see, you think it helps them catch crooks? It also helps them railroad you because you're politically incorrect, or they don't like the color of your skin, or they don't like it because maybe you have a little bit more money than they have, or maybe you don't have any money. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? If you take away the rights of any person, no matter who that person is, you have also taken away your own rights and the protection of those rights. We cannot allow that. We must stop this. Search without warrant or process any person, place, or vehicle according to any federal law or rule of law, and seize without warrant or process any piece of evidence as provided by federal law. You must oppose this effort to tamper with our rights. Write the Bureau of Land Management. Bureau of Land Management, Administrative Record, Room 401, capital L, capital S, 1849 C Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20240. Bureau of Land Management, Administrative Record, Room 401, LS, that's capital LS, capital L, capital S, I should say. See, if you don't do it just right, it won't get there. 1849 C Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20240. Or you can email them via the internet at W-O-C-O-M-M-E-N-T, the A with the circle around it, W-O.B-L-M.G-O-V. And please include, if you use the email, include attention, capital A-C-3-0, and your name and address and your message. Tell them, no, forget it. Who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? How did you get so arrogant? And what makes you think we're going to allow you to do this to us? It's not going to happen. Now, if you have a computer and you want to see this rule, you can go to the Gun Owners of America website. Point your browser to http://www.gunowners.org/gtblm1.htm. Let me say that again, make sure everybody gets it correctly. http://www.gunowners.org/gtblm1.htm. And you can download it. And you can also go to the Federal Register and get it from there. Federal Register of... November the 7th, 1996, page 57615. So do that, folks. This is amazing. You see, you wouldn't even know about it. People like me and others, Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, Jackie Patru, many others, didn't keep track of all of this stuff. Here's some other things that those rules allow them to do. Section 9260.4. BLM law enforcement officers are authorized to, small a, under FLPMA 43 U.S.C. 1733, small c, 1, 1, carry firearms.
Oh, gee, Yogi, you better put that picnic basket back. Here comes the Mr. Rancher, and he's wearing a gun.
Can you think of anything so absurd in your life as forest rangers and BLM officers putting on Jack Brown belts with handcuffs and a nightstick and a 45 automatic and their big badge and being bad guys? What's this world coming to? And where do they get the, where do they hire these guys to have the mentality to even accept this kind of stuff? They're supposed to be good guys. They're not supposed to be cops. Two, execute and serve any warrant or other process issued by a court or officer of competent jurisdiction. You know what competent jurisdiction means? It means they can execute and serve state warrants, or county warrants, or city warrants, as long as it's issued by a court or officer of competent jurisdiction. You see, they cease to be federal officers and become national state police. Don't you understand what's happening, folks? The Gestapo is forming in America. Number three, make arrests without warrant or process for a, one, misdemeanor he or she sees or has reasonable grounds to believe is being committed in his or her presence, or two, felony if he or she has reasonable grounds to believe that the person to be arrested has committed or is committing a felony. Now, you don't need rules for that. Anybody can do that. Any citizen of any state or of the United States can make a citizen's arrest if you see somebody committing a misdemeanor or a felony right in front of your eyes. Now, if you don't see it, all this stuff about whether, if you believe is being committed, sorry, folks, that doesn't wash. It has, you have to see it. And if you don't see it, then you have to have a warrant. And that's the truth. So what it does is grants them authority in an area they never had it before. Because anybody can make an arrest if you see a crime being committed. They don't need a special rule for that. Four, search without warrant or process any person, place, or vehicle according to any federal law or rule of law. And five, seize without warrant or process any piece of evidence as provided by federal law. And B, the small b, folks, under 43 U.S.C. 1466, take oaths, affirmations, affidavits, and depositions with the same force and effect as if administered or taken before an officer having a seal. Wow. Listen to this. Section 9262.7. What BLM rules concerning public disturbances and dangerous activities must I follow while I'm on BLM lands? On BLM lands, unless BLM has authorized it, you must not cause a public disturbance. What is a public disturbance? If you fire a weapon, is that a public disturbance? Huh? If you sit around a campfire at night and sing songs, is that a public disturbance? Or create risk to other persons by engaging in activities which include but are not limited to A, making unreasonable noise. See, you thought I was full of it when I said, is sitting around a campfire singing songs a public disturbance? You thought I was full of baloney, didn't you? The very next one is A, making unreasonable noise. How can you make unreasonable noise in the middle of a desert if you're the only ones there? You see, it doesn't say there has to be other people around, ladies and gentlemen. You're on public land. B, discharging a firearm or any other implement capable of taking human life, causing injury, or damaging property. 1. In or within 150 yards of a residence, building, campsite, recreation site, or occupied area, none of which are defined. 2. Across or on a publicly maintained highway, road, or trail currently open for public motor vehicle traffic or an adjacent body of water. That's common sense. Or, 3, at glass bottles or other materials being used for targets that have a tendency to break into hazardous fragments with sharp edges and projections. I have no problem with that. or C, using or possessing firearms, fireworks, explosives, or other devices or materials in violation of other federal, state, or local laws, regulations, and ordinances. Now, if you're on BLM law, land, how can you be in violation of other federal, state, or local laws, regulations, and ordinances if you're using or possessing a firearm, fireworks, explosives, or other devices or materials? Unless, of course, you're building a bomb or something like that. Of course, that would be prohibited. But there are already laws against that, ladies and gentlemen. And this is all part of building a national Gestapo, a police force that is always there and can never be taken away. Yeah. More red stuff. More red stuff, red stuff, red stuff. Red flags, red people, red everything. Red, 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 red. Red roses. How many of you knew that the red rose is the international symbol of socialism? Well, it's true. Now I'm going to give you an example of how far gone people are. They're really gone over the edge, I got to tell you that. You see, right here in the White Mountains of Arizona, we have a newspaper called The Independent. And this story appeared in The Independent on February the 14th, 1997, Friday, February the 14th, 1997. The Independent. It was written by Mike Allen. Well, I walked around all over the place, folks. I asked people, hey, did you hear of Border Region 21? Nope, never heard of it. Did you read The Independent? Yep. Did you read it Friday the 14th? Yep. You never heard of Border Region 21? Nope. What would you think if the globalists were to eliminate the United States-Mexico international border?
Boy, they can't do that.
Well, I thought you said you read The Independent Friday, February 14th, 1997.
Well, I did.
Well, apparently you missed this story, Gomer, because it was in there. Border Region 21 to eliminate United States-Mexico international border. Dateline, Sholo, Arizona. The utopian city of the future will be devoid of nationalism, racial strife, and individual sovereignty, according to the latest information out of the White House. Now listen to this. Stop bleeding and following the Judas goat long enough to listen to this. Tucked beneath the coattails of the 1993 North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, was an additional agreement implementing what has come to be called the La Paz Agreement that calls for the elimination of the United States-Mexico international border at Arizona, New Mexico, California, and Texas. The La Paz Agreement was implemented in January 1997. Let me read that again just in case you didn't hear me. The La Paz Agreement was implemented in January 1997 and calls for a 60-mile strip north and south of the border to be an open zone and will be called Border Region 21. The agreement is a new environmental program that eliminates sovereignty as well as the borders of the two countries with funding provided through the creation of the Border Environment Cooperation Project, known as BECC, and the North American Development Bank, known as NAD Bank. Now, before NAFTA was even passed, I told you this was going to happen on this broadcast, the hour of the time, over and over and over again, and when we finally got the full text of NAFTA, there it was. And I read it to you over this broadcast. The people wrote me letters saying I was crazy. Now, here it is, printed by somebody I don't even know named Mike Allen in The Independent. And everybody around here that reads The Independent didn't even see it. The new region has literally created an area that combines both Mexico and the United States into one and will affect 10 million people. Exactly what I said that NAFTA was designed to do. Eliminate the border between Mexico and the United States of America. GATT will eliminate the border between the United States and Canada. The North American continent, including Mexico, will become a region of the New World Order under the United Nations. Just as Jackie Petru has been telling you and documenting on her excellent broadcast Monday through Thursday nights on this network. And if you'd looked up all the documentation that she has given you, you'd find that both of us have been telling you the truth all this time. We have never not told you the truth, ladies and gentlemen, and we have never failed to document what we say so that you can go and look it up, and how many of you have done it? Quote, the goal is to shine the light of truth on the dark forces within our government that would take away our liberties as granted under the U.S. Constitution. What Mike Allen's doing here. The major purpose of Border 21 is to provide sustainable development to the newly created border region. According to treaty documents, sustainable development seeks to restructure education by providing lifelong learning opportunities, OBE, and creates visioning councils, which will limit urban sprawl, refurbishes land area to be designed for pedestrian and bicycle traffic, and makes use of rail corridors for intercommunity visions. What a bunch of socialist gobbledygook BS if I ever heard it in my life. To manage the newly created region, U.S. federal agencies and Mexican agencies have been combined. For environmental protection, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, Natural Resources and Fisheries, and Mexico's Secretariat for Internment and Secretariat for Social Development. for Natural Resources, the U.S. Department of the Interior, the U.S. Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources and Fisheries, for Border Water Resources, U.S.-Mexican sections of the International Boundary and Water Commissions, for Environmental Health, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and Mexico's Secretariat of Foreign Relations and international institutions such as BECC and NADBANC. Some of the key objectives of the agencies will be within the biodiversity and protected areas, improving and expanding protection of species and habitats, promoting sustainable management of natural resources in the entire border zone through productive projects to improve the quality of life for local communities, managing natural protected areas to guarantee the conservation of ecosystems and biodiversity. To manage this area properly, the U.S. Geological Survey has acquired infrared aerial photography. The cameras will do mapping of the area as well as the monitoring of proper land usage, forest management, water resources, and the protection of natural resources, promoting sustainable aquaculture development while preventing habitat degradation and declines in resident species. What do you think about that? Huh? Oh, me. Sometimes I wonder why I even bother asking, to tell you the truth. Because sometimes I wonder if anybody really cares. Do you? But if you do, why aren't you doing something? Why aren't you helping us? Why aren't you up there with your own radio station, yelling your head off? Why aren't you writing articles? Why aren't you standing on the street corner? Why aren't you at the city council meetings and the county supervisor meetings and in your legislator's face? Why? I want to know. So, figure out a way to tell me, will you please? You see, it took effect January 1997. They're implementing the open border now. It doesn't move the border back 60 miles on each side, ladies and gentlemen. It eliminates the border. Eliminates it. Do you know that NAFTA has already destroyed the United States tomato industry? They're bringing so many tomatoes up from Mexico and Central America, they're flooding the market with these tomatoes. And so our tomato growers are going out of business. The problem with their tomatoes? Well, they're bringing all kinds of insects that we never had up here before in those tomatoes and in the other stuff they're going to be bringing too. Plus, how do you know what they fertilized that stuff with? How do you know what was in the ground they grew it in? You don't, do you? No, you probably never will.
We from a stricken country, from broken hills and vales, where factory yards are empty and the rusty gear for sale. Our country will not thrive again. Our faith is not for use. The bubble of prosperity has never come to us. We love to our faith when you hear us talking by. Possibility is dead when the least set to come by.
militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Is that difficult to understand? Not at all. Not at all, ladies and gentlemen. It is as clear as a bell. But guess what? People all over the place are interpreting it, aren't they? Even though it's clear as a bell. So if you think they won't interpret what a recreational area is, or occupied land is, or a campsite is, or a building is, you better think again. They'll interpret it in every way that it can possibly be interpreted to restrict your use of BLM lands and to keep firearms completely off of public land, period. I could give you a lot of other examples that are clear as a bell in their meaning, yet these socialist sucks interpret it completely out of any realm of understanding whatsoever. Some of you women out there might be interested in this announcement. There's a Patriot Women's Alliance. Patriot Women's Alliance. And this is the mission statement. PWA, Patriot Women's Alliance, is an informal association of like-minded American women set up to offer moral and spiritual support across this great country. Its purpose is to provide someone to listen, encourage, or advise if asked, by linking women of like interests, beliefs, and small local groups. There are no fees or dues. If you are interested in becoming a part of the Patriot Women's Alliance, or would just like to help in some way, please contact our coordinator, Sabre Gary. That's S-A-B-R-E, Gary, G-A-R-R-Y, at 409-423-4916. That's Central Standard Time. And please don't call at indecent hours like many of you insist upon calling me. It's amazing how inconsiderate some people are. Please don't call Sabre at inconsiderate times, okay? Her name is Sabre Gary, 409-423-4916, Central Standard Time. And please, you know, account for your time zone when you figure out when you're going to call her. Okay, that's that. This one is going to grab you. You just, folks, I have so much information coming in here all the time that I try not to hit you with the worst stuff. Sometimes I try not to hit you even with the medium stuff. I try to give you the stuff that you'll understand and will help to educate you. But it's a very tiny percentage of what I see that comes through here every day. Hundreds and thousands of documents and newspaper articles and letters and everything that you can think of. And this is just one of the minor incidents. This is a minor incident, folks. There are some real bad ones. Larry Gates of rural Iconium, Missouri. He's 54 years old. And he should be enjoying the very best years of his life. But he's not. After retiring from the Marine Corps as a master sergeant, after 22 years of faithful, patriotic service, he spent 10 years in a civilian capacity working for the Marine Corps Finance Center in Kansas City, Missouri, as a legal officer in the personnel department. In 1994, Gates was diagnosed with a heart condition and high blood pressure. So he and his wife, Pam, bought a small convenience store at Tally Bend, Missouri, and along with their three sons, moved to Iconium, Missouri to escape the stresses of city life, as so many of us have. For 3 years, life was pretty good for the Gates family, and in keeping with his history of contributing and volunteering service, he did the same in Iconium. They named their store Bear's Den. They had real good neighbors and friends. and the little store thrived, especially in the summer months when the Tally Bend area is deluged with vacationers and bass fishermen. Gates joined the Iconium Volunteer Fire Department, once again giving of himself freely. Has also worked from time to time to assist the St. Clair County Sheriff's Department, freely, volunteering. As with most rural law enforcement, the St. Clair County Sheriff's Department has a large area to cover and very few deputies to cover it. I know, we have the same problem here. Gates' background in law enforcement and legal affairs in the Marines and also in Kansas City made him an asset to the rural deputies and to the sheriff. However, folks, on Christmas Eve in 1996, the good life came to an abrupt end for the Gates family. On that day, Gates was monitoring his FCC-licensed radio as usual, listening for calls from the sheriff's department as well as from the local fire departments. He became aware from the communications that a young couple who was being sought for the murder of a Henry County man had been located in Tally Bend near Bear's Den, his own store. Kristen Allen and Shelby Stewart Jr., both 23, have since been charged with the murder of wheelchair-bound 65-year-old Don Coulter. According to newspaper reports, Coulter was murdered in an apartment in Clinton. The motive is believed to have been robbery. But on December 24th, Allen and Stewart were still being sought by the rural major case squad, one member of which had staked out a trailer on H.H. Road in St. Clair County, Missouri, where Allen formerly lived. Allen and Stewart were driving a red Ford Thunderbird, an easily identifiable victim vehicle. The two reportedly approached the trailer, which was under surveillance. And upon realizing that police were on the scene, they fled back up H.H. toward Bear's Den, which is located at the corner of H.H. Road and C. Road. At this point, the major case squad detective had lost the fugitives. Apparently, he took a wrong turn because he was unfamiliar with the area and did not realize he was on a dead-end road until he got to Truman Lake and had to turn around. In the meantime, Allen and Stewart were driving at a high rate of speed directly toward Gates' store, Bear's Den. Gates knew from the radio transmissions that the police had lost the Thunderbird, and he also knew that they had no choice but to pass his corner. So he positioned his truck, with red and blue fire department lights flashing, at the corner of H.H. and C. His son, Tim, 26, used his car to complete the roadblock, also with lights flashing as a warning to the fugitives to stop. During this time, Gates was in constant communication with the St. Clair County Sheriff's Department dispatcher. He informed them of his roadblock and told them that he would try to stop the Thunderbird. They acknowledged his communication. At no point during any of the transmissions, which were numerous, did the dispatcher ever tell Gates to stand down or to leave matters to the police. Larry and Tim Gates, along with Corey Gates, 22, stood at the roadblock waiting for the Thunderbird. Kevin Gates, 17, and his mother Pam stood on the porch of Bear's Den. On one side of the roadblock was a steep embankment, and on the other side a steel guardrail. Gates was reasonably sure there was no way that the car could pass. However, as the Thunderbird approached the roadblock, Gates realized that it was going far too fast to stop, even if the driver wanted to. The Thunderbird was headed directly for his sons. Believing that his sons' lives were in danger, Gates fired one round from a 12-gauge shotgun at the Thunderbird. The pellets hit the car, but the car kept going. It shot through the roadblock, between the guardrail and the blocking car, careened across the grassy corner, and escaped onto C Road. Gates radioed the dispatcher, informing him of what had happened and that a shot had been fired. He told the dispatcher that the Thunderbird was headed east on C, that's east on C, and that he was going to follow it. The dispatcher then radioed the pursuing major case squad detectives and other law enforcement that the Thunderbird was headed west on C. Gates straightened out the directional error on the radio, and then Gates and his son pursued the Thunderbird. A few miles down Sea Road, they found Kristen Allen on the side of the road. Stewart had told her to get out of the car because he was going to crash the car into a telephone pole and kill himself. Allen was bleeding from superficial cuts caused either by shotgun pellets or by glass from the passenger side window, which had blown out from the shotgun blast. Gates administered first aid to the woman and informed the sheriff's department that he had one member of the couple in custody and that the other was still fleeing in the Thunderbird. Well, folks, Stewart did, in fact, crash the car, not only into a telephone pole, which sheared off, but also into two trees. But, as bad luck would have it for him, he survived the crash and ran to a nearby barn where he was arrested by law enforcement. The law enforcement officers were at least 10 minutes behind the fugitives, and Gates maintained that if he had not fired the shot, Allen and Stewart would have escaped. They would have had ample opportunity then to commit another murder for gain, or they might have killed a family on the road because of the reckless way that Stewart was driving, or they may have killed an officer in the process of trying to arrest them at some future time. After the two alleged murderers were taken into custody, Gates went to the St. Clair County Sheriff's Department to give his statement. He told them what had happened and described his part in the incident. They already knew all of this because he had been in communication with them over the radio for the whole period of time. They thanked him. They thanked him. They thanked him and allowed him to go home. He was told that no charges would be filed against him. However, during the next 3 or 4 days, something or someone changed. Gates was charged on January the 7th, 1997, with unlawful use of a weapon, which is a Class D felony. It's a felony. He posted a $5,000 bond, and as of this writing, is free awaiting the results of the hearing on March the 10th. Gates was advised by his attorney to cop a plea, which would result in the charge being reduced to a misdemeanor, a fine, and probation. However, Gates rightfully refused to plead no contest to a reduced charge because he is firmly convinced that he has done nothing wrong. And everybody in this whole country who understands what happened here knows that Gates did absolutely nothing wrong. He did his civic duty, as he has always done all of his life. His wife, Pam, agrees. Quote, "I am very proud of my husband, and I'm very proud of my sons. Everyone who comes in our store tells us that they support what Larry did, and that they're behind us 100%, but because they did what was right and what was necessary, my entire family is under a shadow, and Larry could be facing 8 years in jail. He won't survive 1 year in jail," end quote. And she goes on, quote, "One of the sheriff's deputies told me that Mike Dawson said he wanted to make an example of Larry Gates to all the residents of St. Clair County, that they should not get involved with law enforcement. But after the incident, Dawson wasn't going to file charges against me. I don't know what changed his mind," end quote. Well, I know what changed his mind, ladies and gentlemen. I know absolutely what changed his mind. They don't ever want citizens with guns, period, much less helping law enforcement. That's what's going on. And so he wants to make an example of Mr. Gates to discourage anyone else from not only helping law enforcement, but from even owning a firearm. That's what it's all about. You see, Gates is an honest and sincere man who was doing his duty as he saw it, as a citizen, in defense of his home, family, and neighborhood, his community. That's what you do in rural areas. In rural areas, if the neighbor's barn is on fire, all of the neighbors become firefighters. If a neighbor is being attacked, the other neighbors come to his defense. Law enforcement and fire departments are spread thin in rural areas and usually composed, ladies and gentlemen, of many volunteers with a hard core of some regularly employed law enforcement personnel, especially in sheriff's departments in large counties. I know. I live in the largest county in the entire state of Arizona, and I know what our Sheriff Lee and his deputies have to cover here. And in some of these areas, it could be an hour or two, or even three, before a sheriff's deputy could even get to the location. And that's the truth of the matter. Assistance from law-abiding citizens in rural areas has always been welcome. Mr. Gates is bewildered by the charges which have been filed against him because in his mind he has done nothing wrong. On the contrary, he is convinced that if he had not set up the roadblock and fired at the fleeing Thunderbird, the young couple who have been charged with murder would have escaped and been free to cause further damage to lives and property and may have even run right over his two sons. Gates intends to fight the charges all the way to the Supreme Court if necessary. However, folks, such a fight will be lengthy and very, very expensive. You have no idea what these leeches who call themselves lawyers charge. So you're not going to get a defense like O.J. Simpson got. No matter how good or bad you may think his defense was, you couldn't afford to even think about even talking to one of those guys for 5 minutes. And neither can Mr. Gates. The Missouri 51st Militia is working with Gates to publicize his situation and raise funds to assist in his defense. And I hope that you will help out. Quote, Larry Gates is not a member of our organization, said Colonel James A. McKenzie, commander of the 51st Missouri Militia. But his actions are an example of the fulfillment of the obligations of the citizen militia, which is to stand ready to assist authorities in the protection of lives and property in the community. Well, you see, Colonel James A. McKenzie is wrong. Because Larry Gates, if he is not yet 65 years old, having been an honorably discharged or retired member of any branch of the military services of the United States of America, is a member of the militia by law. And that's what most of you out there don't know. By law. He was doing his duty, as so many others have in the history of this country. The 51st Missouri Militia stands behind Larry Gates and what he has done. Colonel McKenzie says, quote, we intend to raise funds to help him and get the word out as much as possible to citizens that Gates is being persecuted for doing what was right, end quote. If you'd like to send a contribution to the Larry Gates Defense Fund, write this down, ladies and gentlemen. I hope that you will respond from the depth of your heart to this man who has done so much for this nation in his life, always volunteering, always unselfishly, always the right thing. Send your contributions to Larry Gates Defense Fund in care of P.O. Box 182. That's P.O. Box 182, Grain Valley. That's Grain as in G-R-A-I-N, Valley, Missouri. If you don't know how to spell Missouri, just put M-O. That's what I do. 64029, Larry Gates Defense Fund, P.O. Box 182, Grain Valley, Missouri, Postal Zone 64029. There's a hearing scheduled for March the 10th at 9 a.m. at the St. Clair County Courthouse in Osceola, Missouri. And if you're a supporter of Mr. Gates, we urge you to attend. Let him know that we care about him, that we approve of what he did, and that we stand solidly in support of him in his hour of need, as he has always volunteered and given of his life in support of the needs of this nation, his community, his family, and all of us. Once again, it's the Larry Gates Defense Fund, care of P.O. Box 182, Green Valley, Missouri, 64029. And if you can make it, there'll be a hearing on March 10th at 9 a.m. at the St. Clair County Courthouse in Osceola, Missouri. And if you can be there, please show up and give him your support. If you'd like to call the St. Clair Sheriff's Department and tell them what you think of this, or the St. Clair County Courthouse District Attorney Mike Dawson, who's really the responsible party here. Mike Dawson, I bet you if we investigate his background, will turn out to be a socialist New World Order puke-faced pig. You want to bet? How much do you want to bet? Because we're going to do it. We're going to check this guy out. The St. Clair Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Leroy Conrad, 4th and Chestnut Street, Osceola, Missouri, 64776. That's the St. Clair Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Leroy Conrad, spelled C-O-N-R-A-D, at 4th and Chestnut Street, Osceola, Missouri, 64776. And Osceola is spelled O-S-C-E-O-L-A, O-S-C-E-O-L-A. If you'd like to call Sheriff Conrad, the number is 417-646-2522. That's 417-646-2522. And if you want to call this creep that is causing all of this trouble and heartbreak, or if you want to write to him, I'll give you the number also. It's St. Clair County Courthouse. St. Clair County Courthouse. District Attorney Mike Dawson, spelled D-A-W-S-O-N. District Attorney Mike Dawson, Courthouse Square, Osceola, Missouri, 64776. That's the St. Clair County Courthouse. District Attorney Mike Dawson, Courthouse Square, Osceola, Missouri, 64776. And here's his number. If you call, ladies and gentlemen, be polite. Voice your displeasure and support of Mr. Gates. But don't be a jerk. And don't make all of us look bad by saying or doing something that you shouldn't say or do. Here's the number, 417-646-2226. That's 417-646-2226. And I hope this response wakes them up a little bit. And I hope there is a big response. I think, well, folks, it's we either fight together or hang together. One of the two. That's the way it's going to be. I prefer to fight together. I don't like hanging. And I'm never, ever going to be anybody's slave in anybody's socialist New World Order. So there you have it. I will always choose the right path, and the right path is to support this man. And I hope that you will join me in that effort. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. And may God find it in his infinite mercy to save this republic. Let us Here, adult buddy, this is the voice of freedom. Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. The Hour of the Time is also aired on WRMI, Worldwide Shortwave Radio, 99.55 kHz Monday through Friday nights, 5 until 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be, 101.1 FM, Eagle.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
We now return you to All Oldies, Most of the Time.